What's up, everybody? Hello and welcome to A&A MMA. It's your boy Monty here to give you the breakdown on the world of MMA. Gonna talk about the card that was UFC 265. Of course, I got some news to start off for you guys, and then later I'll be breaking down Bellator, PFL, and ONE Championship, all going down this weekend. So really looking forward to that. I'm sure you guys are asking, where's Slim? Good question. Probably sitting in his chair that he sleeps in every night, doing absolutely nothing, just mindlessly looking at, like, watching anime or something. He's going to go to get up off that chair, and his back's just going to be stuck to the leather. Dude is foul. Dude is absolutely disgusting, and he is the laziest podcaster I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen a lot of lazy podcasters. Nonetheless, let's go ahead and get into some MMA news with Monty. We might have talked about this one last week, not too sure, but just to cover my bases here, Charlie Ontiveros will be taking on Steve Garcia Jr. That's on October 9th. Really looking forward to that one. That'll be a good scrap there. This one was finally made official. Derek Brunson versus Darren Till, September 4th. Oh my goodness. I am so happy to see Darren back, and I think that's just such a fun matchup between Brunson and Till. Just great matchmaking there. So, in other news, another fight announcement here. Edmund Shahbazyan will be taking on Nassourdine Imavov. That's going to be at UFC 268. That's November 6th. Cannot wait for that one. That's going to be a good test there for Imavov. And we'll see how our guy, Edmund Shahbazyan, is improving. Also, this was supposed to happen at UFC 266. It was reported that Ricky Simone was going to be taking on Tamir Valiyev. The contracts were never signed, and that fight is not happening. So I think we reported on that one. Taking that one back. All right. In other news here, we had Alex Perez and Matt Schnell. That was supposed to happen August 28th. That got pushed back to September 4th. Still really, really looking forward to that one. Alessio Di Chirico will be taking on Akhmat Kizraev. Really looking forward to that fight as well. And then Mahmoud Muradov taking on Gerald Meerschaert. That'll be an interesting scrap there. I'm interested to see Muradov's game plan going into that fight with Meerschaert. This one's going to be a banger. Jun Young Park taking on Gregory Rodriguez, October 23rd. So excited for that fight. That's going to be a really good one. What else we got here? Sorry, guys. So finally getting a fight. Arman Tsarukyan will be taking on not a guy in the top 15, but Christos Jagos. That's going to be happening September 18th. You know, still a good test there for Tsarukyan because we know Jagos just so much experience. He's fought the best of the best, and, you know, he's been doing it for a long time now. So that'll still be a pretty interesting scrap there. In other news, Nathaniel Wood and Kevin Krum are both out. So now Jonathan Martinez will be taking on Marcelo Rojo. That's at UFC Vegas 36 on September 4th. That's going to be a good one, man. Really excited for that one. But this one, this is the one that caught my eye for the fight announcements this week. A&A MMA prospect favorite, Tom Aspinall taking on Sergey Pavlovich. That's also September 4th. Oh my goodness. That is going to be worth the watch, trust me. Speaking of worth the watch, do you guys think this one is? Former UFC champions Anderson Silva will be taking on Tito Ortiz. They're hoping for September 11th on a Triller card. Is that something you guys would be, you know, buying? Write me on Twitter, let me know. Also in fight announcement news, Alexander Hernandez taking on Leonardo Santos. That's UFC fight night. I forget what fight night that is, but that's October 2nd. So be on the lookout for that one. Another announcement here, and I'm excited about both of these. Lerone Murphy will be taking on Charles Jourdain. That'll be a fight of the night candidate. And then Doucha, Lungiambula, coming back and facing Marc-Andre Barriol. You already know that one's going to be a scrap. Super excited for that. Baby Slice also coming back to the Bellator cage. He'll be taking on Cody Lincoln at Bellator 265. Oh yeah, Enrique Barzola, the Ultimate Fighter Latin America 2 winner, officially signed a multi-fight contract with Bellator. So, you know, probably a good place for him to be. Definitely a talented guy. So going over there, I'm sure he'll get some shine. What else we got here? Oh, Kai Kamaka got cut by the UFC, which is kind of stunning, man, because this is a guy that won fight of the night in his first fight. You know, he had a couple fights that he lost in between then. And then his last time out, it was a majority draw, but that's a fight that, you know, he had clearly won if he didn't have the point deduction. So kind of stunning to see the UFC cut him like that. Wasn't really expecting that one at all. Jesse Strader is out. Manny Martinez is in. He will be taking on Trevin Jones at UFC 34. You guys might remember Martinez from Dana White's Contender Series. That fight will be happening next weekend, August 21st. All right. That's all I got for you guys on news right now, I do believe. Let me double check on that. Oh, if you haven't seen the video of Jordan Williams stopping the dude who was trying to steal his car, worth the watch. It's on Jordan Williams' page there, Bomaye MMA, so that's definitely worth the watch. Go check that one out. Clarissa Shields did get her official second MMA bout announced. That'll be the PFL event on October 27th, so not too far away there. All right, I do believe that is all I have for you guys in the news department. So now it is time for me to break down the card that was UFC 265. And dude, it was a good one. It was an exciting card. Me, Slim, and Jack all got together and got to watch this one. So, you know, really fun watch, man. Jack was dozing off there towards the end. But nonetheless, man, it was a good one. A good one to watch. So let's go ahead and kick it off in the 135-pound bantamweight division. It was Johnny Munoz Jr. taking on Jamie Simmons. And a great performance here by Johnny Munoz Jr. Got this one to the ground and showed off his skills. Ended up getting the rear naked choke. That was 2 minutes and 35 seconds into the second round. Munoz improves his record now to 11-1 overall. And his UFC record is now... Oh, I'm sorry, 1-1. On the other side, Jamie Simmons, now 7-4 overall, 0-2 in the UFC, and all four of his career losses have came by way of stoppage. We now move to the women's 125-pound flyweight division. So there were four pay-per-view cards in a row where fighters suffered pretty gruesome injuries. Of course, we had the Chris Weidman leg break. We had the Jacare elbow dislocation. We had the Jamal Hill elbow dislocation. At UFC 264, I believe that's when Jimmy Crute hurt his leg. But we get another broken arm due to a doctor stoppage. This one came from Melissa Gatto. She had Victoria Leonardo in some trouble there. Was cranking on the arm and it ended up snapping. You could actually see on Victoria Leonardo's forearm where her arm had broken. But just like a bad streak of pay-per-view, broken bones continue. Wait. The Jimmy Crute and Anthony Smith fight, I think that was the same night as Chris Weidman, if I'm not mistaken. I forget what the one on 264 was, but yeah, five cards in a row, pay-per-view wise, with bone breaks. Not good. Melissa Gatto, now 7-0-2 overall. She's 1-0 in the UFC. That was her first TKO victory of her career there. And then Victoria Leonardo, now 8-4 overall, 0-2 in the UFC, and she has suffered all four of her career losses by way of stoppage. All right, we now move on to the bantamweight division, and man, this prospect continues to shine. It was Miles Johns taking on Anderson Dos Santos, and just Miles Johns showing off the hands for three rounds, was just teeing off on Dos Santos. And Dos Santos just kept coming for more, you know, nonstop in-your-face action. But in the third round, Miles Johns just lands an overhand right and put Anderson Dos Santos out. It was a hell of a performance there by Miles Johns, and he actually ended up getting himself a performance of the night bonus for this fight here. So credit to him. Miles Johns defeats Anderson Dos Santos via knockout due to a punch that was 1 minute and 16 seconds into the third round. Miles Johns, now 12-1 overall, 3-1 in the UFC, and both of his UFC stoppage wins have came by way of knockout. On the other side, Anderson Dos Santos, now 21-9 overall, 1-3 in the UFC. He's 1-2 since he went down to the bantamweight division, and Dos Santos has suffered 6 of his 9 career losses by way of stoppage. If you guys hear my fans, I'm sorry, it's hot in this bitch, okay? I gotta have him on right now. It's hot in this bitch. All right. So we move on to the flyweight division. This was the second disagreement by ANA MMA of the night. The first one being Melissa Gatto and Victoria Leonardo. So I had Manel Kopp in this one. Slim went with Ode Osborne. And I've been waiting for this moment since he came into the UFC. And Manel Kopp finally had it. You know, showing off his striking there in the beginning, wasn't too flashy with it, and then lands, he set it up beautifully, but landed a flying knee, put Ode Osborne down, and then jumped all over him and just started pouring on the ground and pound. Hell of a performance there by Manel Kopp. Definitely the best we've seen from him so far in the UFC. Finally getting that elusive first victory he'd been looking for in the UFC. So Manel Kopp defeats Ode Osborne via knockout due to a flying knee and punches. That was 4 minutes and 44 seconds into the first round. Manel Kopp, who didn't get a performance of the night bonus in this one because he missed weight by, I believe, 3 pounds here. So he might need to be making a move up to bantamweight here. But Manel Kopp, anyways, 16-6 overall, 1-2 in the UFC now. He has earned 15 of his 16 career victories by way of stoppage. Ode Osborne, now 9-4 overall, 1-2 in the UFC, unsuccessful there in his flyweight debut, and that was the first knockout loss of his young career. So I'm up 2 against Slim on the night, but he gets one back on me here. Another disagreement by ANA MMA. Slim had Jessica Penne. I had Karolina Kowalkiewicz. I told you guys last week I was pretty hesitant on this one because I knew Jessica Penne did have that distinct grappling advantage. I just thought Karolina would keep it standing and do enough to get the win on the feet. But no, Jessica Penne gets this one to the ground early, ends up locking in an armbar, and hands Karolina Kowalkiewicz her 5th straight loss. And Jessica Penne, you know, coming back after that long break and getting 2 wins in a row over quality opponents, man, gotta give Jessica Penne her credit right now. She's definitely hitting her stride. So in the women's strawweight division, Jessica Penne defeats Karolina Kowalkiewicz via submission due to an armbar 4 minutes and 32 seconds into the very first round. Jessica Penne, now 15-5 overall, 3-3 in the UFC, and she's now 2-0 after that 4-year layoff, like I had mentioned. So good job, Jessica Penne, on your comeback. Karolina Kowalkiewicz, on the other hand, now 12-7 overall, 5-7 in the UFC. She's on that 5-fight losing streak and has not won since April of 2018. She's now 2-7 in her last 9 fights, dating back to when she fought for that strawweight title back in November of 2016. Tough path for Karolina. I honestly don't know what's next for her. She that might have been her last fight there in the UFC. And meanwhile, Jessica Penne putting on great performances and got herself $50,000 for a performance of the night bonus in this one. All right, we move on to the third to last prelim here. In the light heavyweight division, we had Alonzo Menifield taking on Ed Herman. And, yo, Ed Herman was eating the best punches Alonzo Menifield could throw at him. And there's not many people who can do that. I mean, Ed Herman, despite, you know, clearly losing on the scorecards, put on a hell of a performance and made it a fun fight. Just eating and eating the shots of Alonzo Menifield and just coming forward the entire time. But you got to give credit to Alonzo Menifield, man. He definitely looked, his cardio looked better in this one. He went the full three rounds, which people thought, you know, if this one goes over 1.5, advantage is going to start going to Ed Herman. But Alonzo Menifield was in control this entire fight and, you know, definitely slowed down the last two rounds. But still, it's what you want to see out of a fighter like Menifield, to be able to go those three rounds and actually win every single round on the judges' scorecards. So Alonzo Menifield defeats Ed Herman via unanimous decision, 30-27s across the board. Alonzo Menifield now 11-2 overall, 4-2 in the UFC. That was the first decision victory of his entire career. Ed Herman now 26-15 overall, 13-11 in the UFC. He's now 4-4 since he returned to that light heavyweight division back in January of 2016. All right, we move on to a good one here. Slim and I both picked Draco Rodriguez in this one, but man, Vince Morales went out there and put on a great performance, was in control for most of the fight. Draco did have his moments, but yeah, for the most part, this was all Vince Morales. Honestly, didn't see this one coming. I thought Draco would be able to go in there and get the victory here, but Vince Morales defeats Draco Rodriguez via unanimous decision, 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Vince Morales now 10-5 overall, 2-3 in the UFC, and his past three victories by decision, he's won his last three victories by decision after starting his career with 7 straight stoppages. Draco Rodriguez now 7-3 overall, 0-2 in the UFC, and that was the first decision loss of his entire career. We now move to the featured preliminary bout, and my goodness, did it live up to the expectations. We had Rafael Fiziev taking on Bobby Green, and this one was fun, man. The first round was all Fiziev. Kind of slowed down in the second round. Bobby Green starts, you know, pulling the numbers a little bit closer in the striking. I still had it for Fiziev, but I could see how somebody, you know, might have gave Bobby Green that round. Third round, though, all Bobby Green in the stand-up, like, just was pouring it on Fiziev. We haven't seen anybody bar Mustafayev, who hit him with the spinning back kick, but we haven't seen anybody really go out there and, like, be able to strike with Fiziev like that. And Bobby Green in that third round was just teeing off. I mean, anything he was throwing, it was landing. It was just such a great fight, and deservingly, this one ended up getting fight of the night. So both these guys got 50 G's, and like I said, it was very, very worth it. Very deserving as well. So Rafael Fiziev defeats Bobby Green via unanimous decision. Two judges had it 29-28 correctly. One judge gave Rafael Fiziev all three rounds, which is absurd. I don't have the numbers pulled up right now, but Bobby Green, I'm pretty sure, doubled Fiziev's strike count in that third round. So for a judge to give that round to Fiziev, no clue what that guy was watching. Nonetheless, Rafael Fiziev improves his overall record now to 10-1. His UFC record is 4-1. He's earned 3 of his 4 UFC victories by decision. Bobby Green, on the other hand, now 27-12-1 overall. He's 8-7-1 in the UFC. He's now 4-7 with 1 no contest in his last 12 fights dating back to November of 2014. And Bobby Green has suffered 6 of his 7 UFC losses by decision. That was your preliminary card. We now move on to the 5-fight pay-per-view main card. And man, it was a fun one. So we start off in the 135-pound bantamweight division. We had Casey Kenney taking on Song Yadong. This was a tough fight to call. Not only was it tough to predict, it was like a really close fight. You know, just one of those ones when you're watching it, it's like, you know, it's just tough to gauge like what the judges are seeing. So yeah, it was a fun watch, but you could kind of get that sense by the end of it that we were going to see a split decision. And yeah, it's what we got. Song Yadong did end up getting the nod over Casey Kenney. Two judges gave it in his favor. One had it 30-27, which I do not agree with. The other had it 29-28 in favor of Song Yadong. One judge had it 29-28 for Casey Kenney, which I had that on my scorecard as well. So, you know, hey, people see fights different ways. I had to clip from the last episode where I told whoever doesn't like my scorecards on Twitter to suck my ass. And I can't reiterate enough. If you do not like my scorecards on Twitter, suck my ass, dude. I don't give a fuck. All right. So Song Yadong improves his overall record now to 16-4-1. He's 6-1-1 in the UFC, with 8 of those 16 victories coming by decision. Casey Kenney, same exact record. You don't see that too often. He's also, oh, I'm sorry, Song Yadong's 17-5. I don't know what I was looking at. I'm sorry. Casey Kenney is 16-4-1. He's 5-3 in the UFC, and that was the first time he suffered consecutive losses in his entire career. And all 4 of his career losses have came by way of decision. We move on to the women's strawweight division, where we had the Tiny Tornado, which I could not say last week, Tecia Torres, taking on Angie Overkill Hill. Me and Slim both went with Angie in this one. We thought she would do enough with the striking, you know, that activity we thought was going to be enough. But Tecia Torres went out there, and she was the one who was using a lot of activity with her striking. She was coming forward the entire time, working takedowns. It was just a great performance by Tecia Torres. And it's really good to see her, you know, after she hit that little patch where she had lost 4 fights in a row, and, you know, a lot of people were starting to count Tecia Torres out. She's now won 3 fights in a row. And, yeah, I mean, I can see her getting right back in contention for a title, man. It's not that hard to go up those strawweight rankings. And, you know, right now she's ranked number 9. You know, another 2 wins, she could be looking at a title shot here pretty soon. So Tecia Torres wins via unanimous decision, 30-27, 30-27. One judge did have it 29-28. Tecia Torres is now 13-5 overall, 9-5 in the UFC. Her 9 victories in the UFC strawweight division are tied with Carla Esparza for 2nd most in divisional history, only behind Joanna Jędrzejczyk's 10. Tecia Torres has earned 12 of her 13 victories, career victories, by decision. Angie Hill, now 13-10 overall, 8-10 in the UFC. She's 7-8 since she returned to the UFC for her 2nd stint. She has now suffered 8 of her 10 career losses by decision. And Angie Hill's 10 losses in UFC competition are now tied with Randa Markos for most in female company history. Also, me and Slim, for some reason, totally forgot to mention that this was a rematch between them last week. So, yeah, that's kind of something to note there. All right, we move on to another disagreement here by A&A MMA. Slim went with Michael Chiesa. I went with Vicente Luque. Yeah, this one was wild, man. This whole fight was just so crazy. Michael Chiesa ends up getting Vicente Luque's back. And when Michael Chiesa gets your back, the fight's usually over at that point. Well, Vicente Luque ends up fighting out of it and gets Michael Chiesa in a darce choke. I mean, Vicente Luque, dude, this guy can finish the fight anywhere. Just so powerful with his hands. And then the ability to go out there and tap out a guy like Michael Chiesa, dude. Yo, Vicente Luque is right now definitely in title talks. Like, if for some reason, you know, I still, obviously Colby's coming up, so but if for some reason after Colby and Usman fight, Vicente Luque gets the next title shot, I would not be surprised, man. This guy's out here doing some impressive stuff. Of course, we need to see what goes on next with Leon Edwards and Gilbert Burns and all those other contenders. But, man, Vicente Luque, putting his name in the discussion, ended up getting the Darce choke 3 minutes and 25 seconds into the very first round. Vicente Luque, now 21-7-1 overall. He's 14-3 in the UFC. 19 of his 21 career victories coming by way of stoppage. Luque has earned 13 of those 14 UFC victories by stoppage. His 13 stoppage victories since 2015 in the welterweight division, most in the division during that span. His 13 stoppage victories in the welterweight division, second most in divisional history, only behind Matt Brown's 14. Vicente Luque, you can go ahead and call it his signature choke now, because that fourth Darce choke in the UFC is now most in company history. Michael Chiesa now 18-5 overall, 11-5 in the UFC. He's 4-1 since he moved up to that welterweight division back in 2018. Chiesa has suffered all 5 of his career losses by stoppage. And Michael Chiesa has completed at least one takedown against 14 of his 15 UFC opponents. So I get Slim on another one there, and Vicente Luque gets himself a performance of the night bonus, deservingly, man. That was amazing. Didn't see it coming. I thought he'd win, but I didn't see him choking out Michael Chiesa, man. Wild. All right, we move on to the bantamweight division. We had a battle of two Brazilians and the last disagreement between ANA MMA on the night. I took Jose Aldo. Slim went with Pedro Munhoz. And, dude, Jose Aldo at 135. What in the world? This dude is just like Barboza at 145. He's a cheat code, man. He moves down a division and just is tearing it up. I think Jose Aldo has a lot of options ahead of him after this win. The way he went out there and just was letting those hands go. I looked at Slim at one point. I don't know why. It just popped in my head. And I was just like, dude, Jose Aldo would kill Sean O'Malley if they fought. Like, Jose is just so bad to the bone, dude. The way he throws those body shots, which I said was going to be a big key in this fight, and it really turned out to be. I don't know if anybody has better body punches when it comes to like pure boxing, better than Jose Aldo. I can't think of anybody who goes to the body better with their punches. So nonetheless, Jose Aldo defeats Pedro Munhoz via unanimous decision, 30-27s all across the board. Jose Aldo now 30-7 overall, 12-6 in the UFC. He's 2-2 since he dropped down to that bantamweight division, but those wins have been impressive. Aldo has also earned 8 of his 12 UFC victories by decision. That includes both of his bantamweight wins. Pedro Munhoz now 19-6 overall, 9-6 in the UFC, and he has suffered all 6 of those career losses by way of decision. All right, we move on to the main event of the evening for the interim UFC heavyweight championship of the world. It was the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, fighting in front of his home crowd there in Houston, taking on the Frenchman, Ciryl Gane. Ciryl Gane comes out playing some slab music, just getting the crowd hype. They think Derek Lewis is coming out. It's Ciryl Gane. People weren't expecting that one. I like the move from him there, throwing the people off a little bit. And then he goes out there, man, and just at no point was he threatened by Derek Lewis. At no point. Lewis came forward a couple times and threw big punches. And by that time, Ciryl Gane was just totally out of the way. And we told you guys last week, me and Slim, you know, Ciryl didn't need to be bobbing and weaving, slipping punches. Best thing for him to do would just keep backing up, get out of the way of the punch. And that's exactly what he did. And man, one of the all-time performances there for a heavyweight championship fight. Ciryl Gane defeats Derek Lewis via TKO due to punches 4 minutes and 11 seconds into the third round. Ciryl Gane improves his overall record now to 10-0. Derek Lewis falls to 25-8. Cyril Gane, now the first French-born fighter in history to win a UFC title, or a version of it. Gane is now the 15th fighter in history to win a version of the UFC title with an undefeated record. Cyril Gane is on a 7-fight UFC winning streak at heavyweight, longest active streak in division. He is one of four heavyweights in modern UFC history to start his career 7-0 inside the octagon, the only others being Francis Ngannou, Cain Velasquez, and Junior Dos Santos. Cyril Gane has earned 7 of his 10 career victories by way of stoppage. Cyril Gane had a plus 82 significant strike differential. That is the largest margin in a UFC heavyweight title fight. Derek Lewis now 0-2 in UFC title fights, and he has suffered all 6 of his UFC losses by way of stoppage. And Cyril Gane himself got a performance of the night bonus there in that fight. So we move to the records. On the night, I went pretty decent. I was 10-3. Slim went 7-6, so I got him by 3 on that card. I went 6-2 on the prelims. Slim went 5-3. I went 4-1 on the maiden card. Slim went 2-3. Looking at the advanced stats here, in prelims, I am 107-61 with one draw. Slim's 102-66 with one draw. So I got him by 5 there in the prelims. On the main cards, I'm 75-64 with two draws. Slim's 70-69 with two draws. I got him by 5 on that one too. I'm also up 2 in the main events. And the lead is now double digits, my friends. I'm up 10 on that boy Slim. He was down bad last weekend. He was looking rough, man. But, yeah, like I said, man, that's your rundown for UFC 265. I hope you guys enjoyed the card. I profited on the night betting-wise. I hope you guys all did too. And then when we come back, I got 3 fight cards to break down for you guys. I got me and Slim's picks for PFL. I know everybody's really excited for that one. I'm going to do a little bit of a rundown here on this one championship card, which will be happening at like 8:30 tomorrow morning, which will be Friday. So by the time you're hearing this, one championship might have just happened, but I'm still going to get that breakdown there on that one. And then Bellator 264. So PFL and Bellator both on Friday, but I think PFL starts 2 hours before Bellator, so it'll have a good jump on it at least. Yeah, nonetheless, looking forward to breaking down those cards for you guys. I will be right back. All right, you guys, I am back. Got a couple, 3 cards actually to run down for you guys here. All taking place tomorrow, Friday the 13th. This one will be at 8:30 in the morning. You can watch it on YouTube. This was like one of those weird one cards where it's like pre-recorded. So like these 5 fights happened on July 30th, but we get to see them today or tomorrow. So let's go ahead and just do a quick little rundown for you guys here. In the first fight taking place in the bantamweight division. Actually, I forgot. One championship's weird. This is their lightweight division. We have a matchup between Ganbaatar Nurgui as he takes on Rahul Raju. Nurgui coming in with a record of 5-2-1. Raju 7-6. Pretty confident going with Nurgui here. Raju, I've seen him take some bad losses before, so pick here is Ganbaatar Nurgui over Rahul Raju. We now move on to this one's in the flyweight division. We have a matchup between Iko Roni Saputura as he takes on Peng Shuai Liu. Saputura coming in with a record of 4-1. Liu has a record of 6-6. This one should be all Saputra. I'm expecting him to come in and dominate here. So the pick is Iko Roni Saputra. We move on to the heavyweight division. We have Thomas Narmo from Norway taking on Ngolani from Cameroon. Everybody knows about Ngolani, this dude. Fun kickboxer to watch, but doesn't have the best record. He's 4-6. The undefeated Narmo, 4-0. I'm expecting Narmo to come out here, get the takedown, and just start pouring on the ground and pound. I'm pretty confident with him here. ANA MMA going with Thomas Narmo to defeat Alan Ngolani. In the co-main event of the evening, we have the Brazilian Alex Silva coming in with a record of 9-6. He's taking on Li Tao Mao. Sorry, this is in the strawweight division. Silva should have the advantage here pretty much wherever it goes. When I've watched Mao fight before, he does like taking the fight to the ground. But Silva is very capable with his jiu-jitsu. He's got a signature armbar. He's actually had most of his career wins due to armbar, submission specialist. So I think Mao's game plan will kind of just play right into what Silva is going to be wanting to do here. The pick is Alex Silva over Li Tao Mao. In the main event of the evening, it will be Edward Foliang taking on Zhang Lipeng. Foliang coming in, the Filipino fighter, 22-11. Zhang, the Chinese fighter, 30-11-2. This will be a fun matchup. Tough one to call, man. I think this will definitely be, rightfully so, it's the main event of the evening, but this will be the closest fight of the night. You know, I've followed Foliang for a while now. He's always been a dangerous fighter, but just as of late, you know, hasn't been doing the best. So I am going to go with the warrior, Lipeng Zhang, to defeat Edward Foliang. That's your official rundown for ONE Championship Battleground 2. So the next card we're going to run down here is the PFL card that is happening this weekend. So let me get that pulled up here on my handy dandy notebook, and we'll get that going here in a second. All right, so PFL number 7, headlined, of course, by Rory McDonald as he takes on Ray Cooper. This is the first week of the playoffs for PFL, so there will be 4 fights that have playoff implications, and then there will be 6 fights on the preliminary card. All of those are just showcase bouts, as they call them in the PFL. All right, so let's go ahead and kick it off here in the 155-pound lightweight division. We have interesting matchup here. The American Hopeton Stewart coming in with a record of 5-1. He's taken on Elvin Espinoza. I think he represents Salvador. I don't know. He was born in America, though. So the undefeated fighter coming in here, 5-0. This should be an interesting matchup. But Hopeton Stewart, you know, this guy, last time we saw him, he got a rear naked choke. That was at Global Legion FC 15. His only career loss is to Cesar Balmaceda, who had a 4-0 record at the time. This guy here, Hopeton Stewart, he fought Jay Ellis, the notorious guy. I'm interesting to see what Hopeton Stewart can do here. This guy is really dangerous. He's got 4 wins by stoppage, 2 by submission, 2 by knockout, so we'll see what he does here against Espinoza. Fairly dangerous in his own right. He has won every single one of his fights by way of stoppage. He's got 3 knockouts and 2 submission wins, both of the submissions by rear naked choke. His last time out in Icon Fighting Federation, he won via head kick knockout just 19 seconds into that fight. So this guy, really athletic, dangerous fighter. It's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top in this one. Let me find the betting odds here. Didn't have that pulled up. My apologies. So right now the odds have Elvin Espinoza as the -235 favorite over the +190 Hopeton Stewart. I am going with Elvin Espinoza. Slim going with Hopeton Stewart. So an Disagreement to start off the night by ANA MMA. We move on to the welterweight division. A battle between two American fighters here. We have Kyron Bowen taking on Michael Lombardo. Bowen coming in with a record of 9-6. Lombardo is 11-2. We're starting with Bowen here. 27 years old. Last time we saw him was also in the PFL. It was earlier this year. He got knocked out in the second round by Magomed Umalatov. He fought in the Contender Series in 2020, where he lost to Colin Huckbody. But before that, he was on a big 7-fight win streak. Was kind of hitting his stride, but has ran into a little bit of trouble since then. He's taken on the always tough out, Michael Lombardo, 11-2, 31 years old. He is on a 2-fight win streak right now. He had a no contest against Hugh Pooley. That was 3 fights back. He lost to Kyle Daukaus there in the Contender Series, but he's faced really good competition. As I said, Hugh Pooley, Kyle Daukaus, you know, that's a good little run there. And last time we saw him, he did win in the Contender Series. It was a great performance where he won unanimous decision. I'm expecting Lombardo to come out here, and this one should be all him, man. I'm expecting big things out of Michael Lombardo starting with this one. I'd like to see him next year maybe get a spot there in that welterweight competition, because I think he'd fare pretty well. So Michael Lombardo, the -365 favorite over the +280. Kyron Bowen, ANA MMA, both going with Michael Lombardo. We now move to a fight that is being contested at a catch weight of 172.5 pounds. Magomed Umalatov missed by 1.5 pounds here in this one. So we'll go ahead and start with Umalatov here. Coming in with a perfect record of 10-0. The Russian taking on the Brazilian fighter Leandro Silva, 25-9-1. We'll start with Umalatov here. Doesn't have his age. That's unbelievably odd. But just been absolutely tearing it up. Just mentioned the last guy he fought was Kyron Bowen, where he knocked him out with that overhand right. Every single one of his wins have been by stoppage. Most of them by knockout. I believe his last 8 wins have came by knockout. His first 2 were by submission. So, really talented fighter, man. A lot of people are really high here on Magomed Umalatov. He's got a tough one here with Leandro Silva, though. 25-9-1, 35 years old. Last time he fought was actually just a couple months ago when he fought in a boxing match. But his last MMA fight was in Octagon 24. Earlier this year, where he did lose a unanimous decision. But he's been doing a lot of boxing bouts, so, you know, I'm sure his hands are definitely on point at the moment. We'll see if he's able to use that against Umalatov. It's going to be a fun strikers bout here, but I'm going to go with Magomed Umalatov, as is Slim. Right now, Umalatov is the -235 favorite over the +190, Leandro Silva. We now move on to a welterweight scrap here. Between two American fighters, it's Brett Cooper coming in with a record of 27-15, taking on Tyler Hill, who's 10-5. We'll start with Cooper, 34 years old. Last time he won was because he got hit with some illegal knees, but before that, he was on a 2-fight losing streak. He was fighting over there in Russia for a long time with ACB, which, you know, good promotion there. But, you know, definitely not in the best of form with his last 3 fights. That last win also was back in 2019. Getting a shot here in the PFL, though, taking on Tyler Hill. The last time we saw Hill, he actually fought at BKFC 16, where he lost in the first round due to TKO. And then his last time fighting MMA, he took on Johnny Parsons, where he also lost in the first round. That was due to knockout. So, you know, neither of these guys in the best of form at the moment, but nonetheless, ANA MMA is going to disagree on this one. I'm going with the more experienced fighter. I'm taking Brett Cooper. Slim will be going with Tyler Hill. Right now, Brett Cooper is the -235 favorite over the +190, Tyler Hill. All right, couple more preliminary card bouts here for you guys. This one's at a catch weight of 159.25 due to the fact that Daryl Horcher missed weight. I said Umalatov missed weight. I apologize. That was Silva who missed weight. So Daryl Horcher and Leandro Silva both missing weight here in this one. We'll go ahead and start with Olivier Aubin-Mercier, or as they like to call him in the PFL, OAB, or OAM, sorry. Aubin-Mercier, last time out, one of his most impressive performances I've seen out of him, just absolutely picked Marcin Held apart the entire time. His striking looked great. Just kind of everything was working for Aubin-Mercier, so looks like he might be hitting a high point here with the PFL, but Daryl Horcher, another former UFC fighter here, won his last time out at CFFC 91 with a less than 30-second knockout. So Daryl Horcher, we know he's always dangerous. He's got the power in his hands. Will he be able to do it here in the PFL smart cage? We'll see about it. But right now, Olivier Aubin-Mercier is the second biggest favorite on the card at minus 650 over the plus 460 Daryl Horcher. ANA, MMA, both going with Olivier Aubin-Mercier here in this one. Time for the featured preliminary bout here. It's another former UFC fighter, the Brazilian Gleison Tibau, coming in with a record of 35-15, taking on Micah Terrell, who is 15-8. We'll start with the Brazilian Tibau. Just missed getting in the playoffs here. Somehow won one of the worst decisions I've seen in a long time. Last time out against Rory McDonald, he got the split decision win. Terrible call by the judges. But yeah, Gleison Tibau, great grappler, always has been. You know, he's 38 years old now, so we'll see how many more fights he has ahead of him. But, you know, he's got a good matchup here against Micah Terrell, coming in, making his PFL debut. We had seen him in Bellator before, where he lost in 17 seconds to Saba Hamasi. But, yeah, man, he's fought a lot of good fighters. He lost to Nishan Burrell in the first round. He's faced some good guys, but, you know, I don't know. It just kind of worries me. I think Gleison Tibau's been in there with the best of the best. He's coming off a win against Rory McDonald, so I think this one's a pretty easy pick here. ANA MMA both going with the minus 335 favorite Gleison Tibau to defeat the plus 260 Micah Terrell. That is the preliminary card for PFL 7. You can catch that on ESPN Plus starting at 5:30. We now move on to the main card, which will be featured on ESPN 2. Four fights for you here, all to see who goes to the finals for the welterweight and lightweights in the PFL championship here. So starting in the lightweight division, former runner-up Loic Radzibov taking on Alex Martinez. Martinez, man, he's been really impressive so far. I didn't know too much about this kid coming into the season, and I mean, he's just been absolutely great. Beat Loic Radzibov already due to a split decision. Then he went out there and fought Nathan Schultz to a split decision. You know, Schultz won this thing twice. So to go out there and lose your first time by split decision to a guy like that, you know, you can't knock the kid. But Loic Radzibov, as I said, this guy has been here before. He made it to the finals back in 2019. In his last time out, he got a first-round knockout, 27 seconds in, against Ahmed Aliyev. Loic Radzibov, just always dangerous, man. Really fun fighter to watch. But we, like I said, Alex Martinez already beat him this season, so that really has an interesting kind of feel to it, especially due to the fact that Loic Radzibov is the minus 210 favorite here over the plus 175 Alex Martinez. Smart money is going on Alex Martinez for the bets, but I'm going with Loic Radzibov in this one. Slim going with the underdog, Alex Martinez. I believe that is our last disagreement of the night. I think so. All right, let's go ahead and stay in the lightweight division to see who will be facing the winner of that matchup. It's Clay Collard taking on Roush Manfio, the American versus the Brazilian. We'll start with Clay Collard coming in with a record of 20-8. Arguably one of the most impressive fighters to like this season. I'd say like the surprise fighter of the PFL season. Beat Anthony Pettis and beat Joelton Lutterbach. I mean, that's not easy to do, man. This guy has made a lot of improvements since we last saw him in the UFC cage. Took all those boxing bouts and, you know, did pretty good as a boxer. So we'll see if he can keep translating that into wins as he takes on the Brazilian Roush Manfio. This guy also be Anthony Pettis and Joelton Lutterbach. So kind of interesting. These guys both beat the same guys to get to where they are right now. Right now, Clay Collard, the minus 180 favorite over the plus 155 Roush Manfio. I'd love to take Roush Manfio here, but I just think Clay Collard striking is going to be a little bit too much. A&A MMA both going with Clay Collard in this one. In the welterweight division, to see who goes to the first spot for that $1 million finale, we have my guy, Sadabu C, taking on Magomillions, Magomed Kerimov. Really excited about this fight. Striker versus grappler. Sadabu C will have to keep this one standing. The Swedish fighter, 9-5-2. He got in due to a unanimous decision victory over Alexei Konchenko. And he also had a no contest to help him get in. Kind of a weird route here for Sadabu C, but, you know, got to take it how you get it. And then Magomed Kerimov coming in with a record of 28-5. Just been absolutely dominant, man. We haven't seen this guy lose since 2015. Just been beating the best of the best for a long time now. Just put Curtis Millender in an Ezekiel choke in the first round in less than 2 minutes earlier this year. So he only had one fight in the 2021 PFL season. Did enough to get into the playoffs. So really impressive stuff here by Magomed Kerimov. He is the biggest favorite on the card at minus 1125 over the plus 700 Sadabu C. A&A MMA both going with Magomed Kerimov to defeat Sadabu C. And to see who will be facing the winner of that bout in the finale, we have the main event of the evening, Rory McDonald, the Canadian, taking on the Hawaiian, Ray Cooper III. Let's start with Rory McDonald, coming in with a record of 22-7-1, coming off that tragic split decision loss to Gleison Tibau in his last one. Before that, he had beat Curtis Millender, and those were his only two fights in the PFL so far. Ray Cooper III, this guy's won a million before, you know, hungry to do it again, trying to become the back-to-back champ here. He beat Jason Poney with an arm triangle, and then last time out, beat Nikolai Alexakin due to a unanimous decision. Ray Cooper III, really heavy with his hands. He likes to keep it in tight, keep it within boxing range, whereas Rory McDonald, you know, he can go to the ground, and he's got good striking as well. Kind of surprised by the odds. Rory McDonald, you usually see him as a bigger favorite. He's only minus 115 against Ray Cooper III. I think odds makers are looking into that loss a little bit too much. A&A MMA both going with Rory McDonald to defeat Ray Cooper III. Those are your official picks for PFL 7. Good luck to everybody. Hope you all win some money on the night. We'll see if me and Slim's three disagreements can shift his losing ways, because he is about to owe me some money, my friends. All right. I got eight more fights for you here. This is Bellator 264, Musasi versus Salter for the 185-pound Bellator MMA middleweight championship of the world. Kicking off the night with two fighters making their Bellator debuts. It's Orlando Mendoza taking on John McNeil. Don't know too much about either of these guys, so looking at the odds, it's an even pick 'em. It did look like Mendoza had a much more successful amateur career. He was 3-0, so I'm going to go with Orlando Mendoza to defeat John McNeil in this one. All right, we move on in the next next bout, taking place had a catch weight of 142 pounds. I'm not too sure why that's happening, but we have Peru's Sebastian Ruiz coming in with a record of 2-3, currently on a two-fight losing streak. He'll be taking on Jeffrey Glossner, who is 3-2. We've seen Glossner in Bellator before. He lost, won his last time out, gets another shot here, so I'm sure he'll be looking to do something big. Right now, the odds have Jeffrey Glossner as the minus 180 favorite over the plus 155 Sebastian Ruiz. And that is who we're going with, Jeffrey Glossner. Let's go ahead and move on to the women's featherweight division. the former Invicta champ, Pam Sorensen, coming over to Bellator. She's 8-3, taking on the Brazilian Roberta Paim Samad. She is 5-1. Pam Sorensen, a pioneer in this sport, been fighting since 2015, only has lost against Shanna Young, Idiana Gomez, and Felicia Spencer. Finally, getting her chance outside the Invicta cage in a big spot here at Bellator 264, taking on Samad, who is 5-1. She won her last time out, which was actually in the PFL, but before that she had fought in Bellator. Her only fight in Bellator was back in 2015 against Julia Budd. So, it's kind of been a long layoff for both these ladies. Pam Sorensen is the -115 favorite here, very slight, but I think her experience will be the key in this fight. ANA MMA going with Pam Sorensen. All right, this is the main card here. We got five fights for you guys. Ty Werder coming in with a record of 5-2, taking on Kajimurat Bastaev, who is 10-4. Bastaev, this guy is the true definition of kill or be killed. Last time we saw him was in the Contender Series, got knocked out by Phil Hawes. All three of his other losses by stoppage, and then every single one of his wins by knockout, rarely going out of the first round. He's only won once outside of the first round, which it was a second round knockout. So you know Bastaev's going to go out there and start putting the pressure on Werder early, but Werder's fought some really good fighters. His last time out, he lost to Dalton Rosta. But Gorder's been in Bellator for a while now. This is his third fight with the promotion. I just think Gorder is going to have enough to... He's going to be able to slow this down with his grappling, and I think that's going to start wearing on Bastaev. So ANA MMA going with Ty Gorder in this one. Right now, Gorder is the -335 favorite over the +260 Kajimurat Bastaev. Going on to the heavyweight division, two undefeated fighters here. 3-0, Davion Franklin taking on 15-0, Everett Cummings. Davion Franklin, every single one of his fights has been in Bellator so far. He won by decision in one of the weirdest fights ever against Ras Hilton. He beat JW Kaiser by ground and pound, and then his last time out got the quick knockout earlier this year against Tyler King. Everett Cummings, though, might not have heard of this guy. He is 34 years old, but he has a perfect 15-0 record with one no contest, and he had a 5-0 record as a amateur too. So this guy's never lost a fight. But the thing is, if you look at his strength of schedule, he also hasn't beat too many good fighters. Definitely his biggest test here with Davion Franklin, and that advantage with having 17 more fights than Franklin might be a big factor, but I just think Davion Franklin's going to be a little bit too talented here in this one. Davion Franklin, the -365 favorite over the +280, Everett Cummings, ANA MMA, both going with Davion Franklin. We now move on to the 135-pound bantamweight division. It's Russia's Magomed Magomedov coming in 18-1, taking on USA's Rafian Stotts, who's 16-1. This one could definitely be a possible fight of the night candidate. But Magomedov, man, this guy's really, really talented. Fun fighter to watch. He is the -435 favorite on the night. Going to be interesting to see with two guys really, really talented going up against each other. But ANA MMA both going with Magomedov. We now move on to the 170-pound co-main event of the evening. It's Russia's Andrei Korishkov coming in with a record of 23-4, taking on Saba Homasi, who has a record of 15-9. First off, this one's going to be a stand-up battle for the most part. Saba Homasi at +400 is just absurd because he always has that knockout waiting. But Korishkov, just such a talented fighter, man. I do think he'll have the advantage on the ground. If he's smart, he'll get it there early, but I do expect most of this fight to take place standing. Nonetheless, both of us going with Andrei Korishkov to defeat Saba Homasi. In the main event of the evening for the middleweight championship, it's Gegard Mousasi taking on John Salter. Netherlands Mousasi 47-7-2, John Salter 18-4. really excited about this fight, man. Gegard Mousasi, since he's been in Bellator, has just, you know, shown how amazing he is. His only loss in Bellator is to Rafael Lovato Jr. Just such a fun fighter to watch. Mousasi is just a jack of all trades. Anywhere the fight goes, you know, he's well in control and knows what he's doing. But this guy, John Salter, man, ever since he last lost, which was to Rafael Lovato Jr., he's went on a 3-fight winning streak against Chidi Njuguani, Costello Van Steenis, and Andrew Caples. So, yeah, this is a pretty evenly matched fight. The odds makers, though, have Gegard Mousasi as a minus 410 favorite. A little bit high for my liking, but I do think Mousasi goes out there, gets the win in this one, and retains his belt. So, those are your previews. I ran down one championship. I ran down PFL. And I ran down Bellator. You got all my picks for the weekend. I hope you guys win some money. Make sure you write Slim on Twitter. His at is SlimCock, just how it sounds, because dude's a fucking freak bag. Tell him to get his lazy ass off his chair and start recording podcasts. His back skin is probably fusing into the leather of that chair. You guys need to help your favorite podcaster. But that is all for me, my friends. Shout out to my cat Spyro, and we will be seeing you guys next week, where we'll be able to run down all these cards I talked about, and we'll also have a couple more cards to preview, including the UFC coming back. So looking forward to that, and you guys have a good weekend. Peace.